Now, there's always been a lot of whoop-de-doo over the resurrection of Jesus concerning whether it was physical or spiritual. In fact, so much so, I had an article in the newspaper back in 1981 when I arrived in the church in Jackson, and after a number of people had read the article in my former church, about 50, a little over 50 people quit. So you can see how controversial something like this can be. And also, advice out there for people, be careful what you say to the newspapers. Arguments, of course, have concerned, well, physical resurrection, spiritual resurrection, what's meant by resurrection? These arguments can cause terrible conflict in churches, splitting congregations, ending dear, long-standing friendships, breaking families apart. The debate is strong on both sides, especially where Scripture is concerned. We remember how Jesus spoke about the spiritual when he said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." And those who believe in a physical resurrection of the body point to resurrection experiences in the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John, where Jesus actually talks to and is touched by his disciples. Paul writes in his first letter to the Christian congregation in Corinth about the spiritual resurrection as opposed to the physical resurrection. And he says these words in the sermon scripture this morning. "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Not all flesh is alike, but there is one flesh for human beings, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are both heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one thing, that of the earthly another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. Indeed, star differs from star in glory." So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So, did you get that? I'll read it again. No, you can read it when you go home today. It's a snowy day. Of course, this congregation are all going to be skiing, probably. All right, speaking of this physical and spiritual, the different bodies here, Paul is emphasizing that our bodies become dust while our spirits will be raised to the spiritual realm with Christ. We can recall that the tomb was empty, no body, so either Jesus evaporated into thin air or he indeed bodily walked out of the tomb. If he did walk out of the tomb, what actually happened to his flesh and bones, since they presumably did not rise up into the heavens? Or are we speaking in metaphors that Jesus rose in the minds and in the hearts and spirits of those who continue to follow him? It all has to do with the Jewish word. I shared this last Sunday. The word is shalom. It means to be spiritually holy one must also be physically healthy, and to be physically healthy, one must also be spiritually holy. A former chaplain in the Jackson community at the old Foot Hospital, it's become Allegiance Hospital, a dear friend of mine, now passed away, Marcy Keith Slager, once explained to me how physicians must wake up and realize how important it is for patients to have spiritual care as well as physical care during their hospital stays. Too often, patients are handled like machines. They are poked and prodded as flesh and blood bodies without mind or heart or spirit, she would tell me. They do not see the ground of being in the human. And so as a chaplain, she said, this is where a hospital chaplain and other clergy enter the picture, working in tandem with the physicians. The doctor cares for the physical needs while clergy care for the psychological and the spiritual needs. The sacred and the secular, therefore, work together to make the patient whole, shalom. In that one word, shalom, there is, for me, a personal answer to those who ask me about the my own personal views of the divinity of Jesus. Was he God? Was he divine? And what is meant by being a Son of God? The same question can be asked of us as bodies and spirits all mingled together. Are we of the earth, or are we of the heavens? Are we sublime or subliminal? Are we profane or sacred? Are we limited or limitless in who we are and what we can be? My father, of blessed memory, used to tell me that if I could hold on to my health, I would have everything. Now, Pop would periodically say to me, Johnny, it's hell getting old, so don't do it. And I wonder why people take such good care of their homes or regularly change the oil in their cars, tune up their automobiles, while disregarding care of their own bodies. When I left Jackson for Cadillac, the former church had a terrific going-away party. I know that you managed similar activities when Danny and David concluded their ministry. One family brought a huge plate of French fries. They're my favorite meal from a local pub called the West Point. Another anonymous family gave me another gift to go along with the French fries, and I brought it with me this morning in a little plastic bag. And it's for you on the internet, this is sea salt. Either they were mocking me or advising me to change my unhealthy habits. I'll just put that right there, but I'm going to take that with me after the service because I love salt, and I salt everything, don't I, Catherine? I haven't found, however, any place in the area that has French fries like that place in Jackson. Maybe you can help me out with that after the service. And some really thick butter hamburger of some sort. I know I need to change my eating habits. I know I ought to become healthier, and it will help me gracefully age as I ought to. And you can help me with that as well. In the passage Charlotte shared earlier from Luke's gospel, there are two followers of Jesus, and they do not recognize him physically as they journey towards Emmaus, but discover the reality of who he is when they have a meal together and when he breaks the bread. He becomes known in companionship with others. in sharing food, in varieties of religious experiences and conversations. And indeed, what we know is the church was initiated by a band of people who followed Jesus and who were his friends. They were of varying personalities with different points of view, and Jesus never tried to mold them into any type of creedal cult. Not one of them had ever heard of the virgin birth, and the last thing a Jewish monotheist would believe was that a man was God. In his book, The Christian Agnostic, Leslie Weatherhead says, "So the early church, without creeds or elaborate organization, without any buildings or financial, social, educational, or political backing, went out to change and to conquer the world. Its first members were his friends. They cherished fellowship with him. His was a way of life not based on intellectual agreement. They sought to meet the challenges of life, and they preached his gospel not only by word, but also by deed. By word spiritually, by deed physically. If we were pure spirit, sacred souls, we could happily and mindlessly exist forever without worrying about illness, physical decline, and death. There would be no worries about being seduced by gluttony or envy or sexual desire. Likewise, if we were only bodies without souls or spirits, where would conscience be and that which creates morality and integrity and memory? We are unique creatures that combine body and spirit, and therefore we crave meaning and or religion to guide and to elevate us. We human beings are caught up in an ongoing struggle between the yearnings of the spirit and the demands of the body. Though physically speaking, no matter how often we train our bodies through dieting, eating our vegetables, skiing, yoga, jazzercise, swimming, or moving to the wilderness in order to have a stress-free existence, we will never escape the realization that our physical bodies will eventually wear out. Richard Seltzer, a surgeon at the University of Dallas Medical School, wrote in his book, Letters to a Young Doctor, about his search for meaning in the ritual of surgery, which is at once murderous, painful, yet healing and full of love. In the book, he tells of an experience of the physical and spiritual, where he accompanied a doctor friend of his to the Honduras while he was completing his residency. A young girl came to them with a cleft palate, a deformity of the lip so grotesque she would not remove a cloth from her face, which hid the imperfection. During the surgery, the girl died, an unforeseen reaction to the anesthetic. But at the funeral, the girl's mother greeted Seltzer with profuse thanks, saying that her daughter had gone to heaven with the resurrected body, this outstanding, beautiful body and face of a new person for which she had prayed. The young Seltzer realized immediately that his physician friend had slipped into the morgue the night after the failed operation to complete the surgery on the cleft palate on the dead girl. Such an act of denial and vanity, Seltzer had thought at the time. But years later, in retelling the story, Seltzer saw the doctor as conducting a holy act of goodness, one of those persevering acts done to ward off madness between the physical and the spiritual. And so, may we conduct ourselves towards others in this way of health and holiness, shalom, spreading the love of God by following Jesus, committing ourselves to caring and kindness and compassion as we struggle in the flesh and in the spirit. And in this way, in this truth, in this life, here is a way to ward off the madness as we persevere and strain forward to what lies ahead. Amen.